Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome back to Whiskey Congress. I'm going to sneak this in here and say happy birthday, Steven. I know I'm a day late.
It's all right. Well, you did text me and wish me a happy birthday. Thank you. No, I appreciate it.
And I offered to crack open a bottle of Blanton's for your birthday for our show.
Yeah.
But you beat me to the punch.
Yeah. Well, I bought myself my own little birthday something rather. This is Macallan, the classic cut from 2017. It's a limited edition. You can find it in stores, but they only bottled so many of them. And I believe that there was a 2018 as well. But the one that I was able to get my hands on was a 2017. Now the no age statement doesn't necessarily mean so whiskeys with no age statement get somewhat of a bad rep, from people that are into whiskey,
right,
but don't necessarily completely understand the process. So chances are this is a blend. This is a blend of multiple whiskeys, but multiple whiskeys that are a little bit more mature. So anywhere from probably 12 to 18 years old. And then, you know, all of them single malt blended together, which is why you don't have an age statement on there, because there's multiple ages whiskey in there. It comes through at the ABV on this is 58.4.
It could be an interesting show.
Which is incredibly strong. And just my initial thoughts about it are, for something that strong, I mean, for something of any proof, this is amazingly smooth.
I would agree. I don't know what the words are. It has the perfect burn. Because it's got the burn to it, but it is so damn smooth, it doesn't have any bad burn. It's just fantastic,
right? And I've consumed a fair amount of high end or strong high proof whiskey over the last few weeks, you know, between the holidays and everything else. So I barely even feel the burn.
It's a late burn. It doesn't burn on the mouth. It burns, you know, on the finish.
Right. And it's incredibly soft on the palate as well, which is amazing. You get some different flavors in there. There's some vanilla, there's some orange, there's a little bit of hint of nutmeg. There's probably some other things in there that I'm missing because I don't have a fancy word for it. I've never tasted it before. You can even hint the pepper that's in there a little bit. There's
the only one I'm not agreeing with is nutmeg, because I don't know what nutmeg tastes like.
You do? You never cooked with nutmeg?
I don't think have.
Well, you know why I know what it is? Because my dad, when I was young, I used to eat it. Well, actually, I eat oatmeal every day.
And I hate oatmeal. But.
Well, I do overnight oats, so I put it in a mason jar.
Okay.
And then I put it in a mason jar with soy milk overnight, with some seeds and stuff like that, and just it's easier to eat it instead of warming it up with a bowl with water.
Right.
But it's good for you, heart healthy.
It's healthy. Sounds disgusting, but it's healthy.
Right. But you know what? It's a good way to get breakfast in, and
right?
You know, a nice lean breakfast, and it keeps me away from the sausage and cheese and everything else.
Okay.
So, but the reason why I know what nutmeg tastes like, my father, when I was younger and used to eat hot oatmeal, he I would love to put sugar on it, right?
Right.
He'd be like, oh, no. Here's some cinnamon and nutmeg. And it didn't taste really that good, but it was better than nothing. But it wasn't good. It wasn't as good as just sugar and butter.
Right. But it was better for you than sugar and butter.
Way better than me, than better for me than sugar and butter. So that's what I would put on my oatmeal as a kid.
Okay.
And so that's why I know what nutmeg tastes like, and that's why I can identify it in whiskey. So there's that.
Okay. That's interesting insight into Steve. All right. So I'm going to qualify this score. I just got off a really shitty flight where we were shaking the whole way after a long day in a shitty airport.
And you're not a big you fly a lot, but you're not a big fan of flying.
I'm numb to it, but today we were getting shook around and people around me were annoying and kids making noise, and there was a woman who didn't have her kids strapped down. I was afraid we were going to hit turbulence and we were going to knock her kid's head on the ceiling. So whiskey probably tastes especially good to me today. Right. 94 is my score.
Okay, so which means I have to give it a 95, which I did give it a 95, which I wrote down here. And I'm giving it a 95 because it tastes, and really this is probably, you know what, I'm selling it short. Really, if you think about the complexity of flavors, you think about the smoothness, you think about the strength, it checks all the boxes in a big way. This is something that, so this is going to be the only glass that we have, and we'll switch to Blanton's because this one's going home.
When we're downgrading to Blanton's, that's a good fucking day.
I mean,
I have to say it was a good
day. Yeah, it was. exactly. So, I mean, this is probably closer to a 97 for me. Now that I think about it, I think, you know, you try to be conservative and you don't want to overscore. But this is just so good all the way around.
So 97 has to make it like one of the top few whiskeys you've ever had.
It's up there. I mean, and it's Macallan. Macallan's one of the best in the world.
Agreed.
I mean, they win, I mean, award after award every year. There's a reason why. They're consistent and, you know, they know what they're doing. And so I'm going to go ahead and give this one a 97. I don't think I'll regret that. Now, if we ever get into super high-end whiskeys, 30-year-old bottles of whatever or...
Do you want to throw out a price point or do you not want to spoil the mystery for yourself for your birthday gift?
No, it's
up there.
It's in the triple digits.
Okay,
which isn't too bad.
No, as long as it's in the lower triple digits.
Yeah, it is.
If it's an $800 bottle of scotch,
No.
All right, man. So hell of a week.
$800 bottle of scotch is not leaving my house.
I'm fair. I hope I get a sip of it when I'm at your house, but. That it doesn't make
the
trip.
I'll dip my pinky in it and let you lick it off my pinky.
That sounds really awkward. this is going to be a hell of a show, I can tell. So we got to talk this week in Trump.
Yeah, I mean, we got Trump coming between the op-ed in the New York Times, the Bob Woodward book, the Bob Woodward phone call. Kim Kardashian was back at the White House. Alex Jones gets booted off of Twitter.
The last platform he was on, I believe.
Right. Colin Kaepernick, Nike, every burning shoes, everything that
I love when people burn shit that they already that own.
Right. I mean, we talk about every time it happens, we talk about it. It comes up. And hopefully we'll have a little bit of time to get into what's going on in the NFL. This is the opening week. We already had our game, the first game of the regular season last night, Atlanta and Philly. Philly wins again because Atlanta can't score in the red zone. And we'll talk a little bit about my Steelers, Le'Veon Bell, which I think is prudent because he is holding out and there has been some talk from his teammates, obviously the fans. And if you know anything about Pittsburgh and fans, and athletes holding out and athletes in general, they're diehard when you're scoring touchdowns for them, but you do something they don't like and all of a sudden true colors come out. So those are some of the things that we will be talking about. Stick around. And if you're listening on the podcast and if you're watching on video, then jump over to the podcast.
Thank you very much. All right. So one great whiskey reviewed. Highest scored whiskey we've done so far.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever gone over 94. I think I gave Blanton's a 94. I think it's the highest I've ever gone.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt that one deserved.
It's really fucking good. No doubt about it. All right, so we got to talk Trump. I know people say that's all we talk about and it's all everyone talks about. But this week was crazy. The Bob Woodward book comes out. He has a phone call with Bob Woodward where Bob Woodward, that phone call was hilarious.
It sounded like a SNL skit where you didn't know when the punchline was cut, like a bad SNL skit.
Right, right. And SNL skit without jokes. Oh, Kelly, here he goes again. He's going to say bad stuff about me, but that's okay. That's okay, Bob.
I'm going to tell you some good stuff, Bob.
The economy is the best it's ever been. You're not going to talk about that, are you, Bob? Okay.
Why can't anybody do a good book about me, Bob? Like, I mean, it was so weird.
I mentioned 30 years ago in Trump Tower. Remember that, Bob?
You remember that? You remember that?
Oh, my goodness.
You remember that, don't you? You remember you were going to write a book about me?
All right, so the takeaways from that for me on a semi-serious note are how weird it was for Bob Woodward to say, I tried to reach out to you, and no one was able to get the word to you. And he said, I talked to Kellyanne Conway. I talked to Raj. I don't know who Raj is. I think I do, but I forget his name. And he literally summons Kellyanne Conway over, puts her on the phone, and he was like, you know, Kellyanne, here you are. This is why it was like a Saturday Night Live skit. Like, yeah. Characters kept popping up. The only thing that was missing was the fake Jeff Sessions from Saturday Night Live, or the fake Sean Spicer played by Melissa McCarthy. But the Woodward book was scathing and was really the story for about 24 hours.
Yep.
Because then the New York Times posts an op-ed from an anonymous...
Well, hold on. You're jumping a little too fast. So here, and I want to make this point about the Bob Woodward book and that call, and this is where they kind of connect, because Bob Woodward, when he makes the call and him and the president connect, he says, "Do you mind if I record it?" President says yes.
He says no, he doesn't mind.
He doesn't mind. And then Woodward says, "You know, I recorded. You know, I have over 2,000 hours or whatever he has of recordings." Or recorded over 2,000 conversations that he had with people, and he always asked them first. So, you know, he made that statement, and that's on tape, right?
Right.
So my thing is that phone call happens, the book comes out, and, you know, people are jumping over themselves to say, "Oh, that's not true. I didn't say that. I never said anything like that." And I'm like, people, did you or did you not just hear him say he recorded it? So... I guess the question is, at what point does Bob Woodward say, "You know what? Screw you people. You did say this, and here's the tape of you saying it." Now, I feel that he may not, and he said, "Listen."
He knows a little bit about protecting sources.
Right.
But that's not protecting sources. He named people in this case.
Right. He named people in the book.
He did. I think some of them were not specifically named, though, because that was one of Trump's questions on the videos. Are you going to say a source says, or are you going to... So Trump was critical of him for not specifically naming people, although he did specifically name some people, I believe including John Kelly and...
Mattis.
There we go, Mattis.
I think that's an interesting point. Like, at what point does he ever release the tapes of the interviews that he had for the book? And, you know, how damning are those tapes for the people... in Trump's administration? That's something that I've been curious about.
And I mean, Woodward was a career Republican. Mm-hmm. He's done books on, I think they said, the last 8 presidents, obviously,
everyone from Nixon all the way up to Trump now.
And he stood by his sources in Watergate because they were anonymous sources. When he says, "I'm recording you," I don't think there's any indication of anonymity.
Right
there.
There's so not.
You're right. People deny all you want.
So I'm just curious. I'm curious as to if he does.
I do want to say one thing though. If you quote someone and you say so and so said Trump's an idiot, you know, you and I throw names at each other every now and then. You know, you call me a pansy about every third show. I've called you a punk.
I usually call you a Nancy.
Yeah, which is weird because it's my mom's name. But anyway, I mean, so you could say, "Well, Steve said this about Jim." Now you say it to my face, which is a little bit different. But
it's true.
But
that's what men do,
right? But regardless, you know, you could be quoted as saying that about me. So the idea that someone, you know, said, "Trump's a fucking idiot," you know, "he shouldn't have put that tariff," that can happen. That's not necessarily damning. However, some of the other stuff was, but none of it touches the op-ed piece.
Okay. So why don't you talk about the op-ed piece, what was in it, and then I'll give my spiel on it, and then we'll kind of go from there.
All right. So New York Times op-ed piece cites a letter from an anonymous high-ranking official senior official in the Trump administration that basically said he is so incompetent that there were people who were hiding documents from him, taking them off his desk so he wouldn't see them and react improperly to them, that he was morally bereft and unsuitable to hold the office, that there were talks about using Article 25 of the Constitution to remove him from power because he was a danger to the nation. And it was about as... And what's weird is it said mostly things like, "Yeah, I like a lot of things he's doing, you know, the tax cuts, all this other stuff."
Well, he said... I mean, the article... Or he, she... Says
yeah, right,
that
the person.
They... The tax cuts are good, the robust military is good, and I guess...
Denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula, which he really hasn't done. But
whatever. I mean, the foreign policy stuff, you know, I think maybe NATO or whatever. But so he mentions these things, which are I don't know if I could put them. Okay, I don't know. I mean,
they're talking points.
They're talking points, and you know, everyone's praising the tax cuts. I don't know if we've actually seen a full impact of those to this point. I mean,
other than the fact that the deficit is skyrocketing even more, even though people who voted for Trump claim to be deficit hawks when Obama's in office. But okay,
exactly. And you know, I mean, the robust military. You funded the military. That's what presidents do. And the idea that
Obama didn't fund the military is hilarious.
It's hilarious. I mean, the military got two raises under Obama. So it's just those talking points to say this is why I haven't left to protect the security of the nation, and these are the good things that have happened that I've liked. I don't know. I just.
All right, but let's get to the juicy stuff. And I don't hate to do it. I love to do it. I was about to lie to you.
You don't have to lie.
I don't lie. So in this book, they used in this op-ed, the word lodestar was used, which apparently is a term Mike Pence uses constantly. The fact that it appeared in an op-ed that was, you know, I believe spoken to or written to the New York Times says to me that somebody either Mike Pence is stupid and used a word that basically might as well have said, hey, here I am, it's Mike Pence, I'm saying this. And like I said, I did talk a lot about morality and the dignity of the office and stuff, which would be a Mike Pence thing. But like that's like using his catchphrase. That's like, you know, if you know, give me a catchphrase.
A character that uses a catchphrase, which is right.
Any Clint Eastwood movie.
Right.
So it's either, like I said, Mike Pence, someone who works with Mike Pence and has a mindset like Mike Pence, or someone who wants it to look like it was Mike Pence.
Yeah.
Now, I think I know where you come out on this because we talked about it briefly earlier today. Or was it yesterday? Fuck, these days are running together. But before you go into it's someone making it look like Mike Pence, I want to quote Stephen Davis and say, sometimes these people are just not that fucking smart, and it might
be. That's fair. It could be. You know what? So I thought about it more, and I think the number one, and we're on the same page here. Well, my original thought was, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Kellyanne Conway, right? She's got a husband who's vehemently opposed to Donald Trump. She is put constantly in a tough position having to explain, you know, she's the one who has to go out there and be the surrogate, and it's only gotten harder as Trump has kind of gone out there with some of the things that he says, right? I mean, from a policy standpoint, what has Trump done that's been the worst things that he's done are things that no one's talking about, you know, or not a lot of people are talking about in relation to the environment, right?
Right.
And then what's the Justice Department actually doing? They're not doing what Trump wants them to do, but they do have an agenda, and I don't know if that agenda is good for a certain section of people, mostly brown people and not wealthy brown people, right?
Right. And frankly, what he's doing is not good for not wealthy white people, but they continue to support him in
numbers. So, I mean, some of the stuff I think that Trump should be getting criticized for, he's not. Some of the things he is getting criticized for are meaningless.
Care who he fucked.
Right. I don't care about the porn stars or the playmates and you know, his Twitter is whatever. I mean, yeah. I mean,
I care about the Twitter because impacts how we're viewed.
Yeah, it did. But who the fuck cares? At the end of the what it comes down to is policy. Right. It comes down to policy.
Right,
what
right.
policy are you implementing that's going to affect us long term? Like, he's putting in judges in some case. Like, judges are being put in a position where they're going to be on the bench for the next 30 years, right? And some of these people, I mean, we've talked about some of the incompetent people that he's tried to slide through that have no business being on a court. So that was the worst case scenario. So some of these other people that have gone through, and you go through and you look at the list of some of these judges, they should not be on the. I mean, we have people who there are people going onto the federal bench who graduated law school around the same time that I did, right? And there is no fucking way that they should. I'm sorry. I don't care what your level of, unless you've argued multiple courses in multiple cases in front of the Supreme Court at this stage in your career, as a and now I, now here's the deal. I have to remember that I've been out of law school for 10 years now.
All right.
I mean, so there is that, and 10 years is you can
do a lot.
You
can 10 years.
You can establish yourself.
You know what's crazy though? There's a fucking Supreme Court justice going through hearings right now, and neither of us even spoke to each other about it. And there's no one I know who is more interested in the going.
Well, because I mean,
cause other stuff's going on. It's how crazy. Well, that should be the number one story.
I have referenced it on Twitter.
I'm not saying we didn't.
You and I have it, and part of it is because it's a foregone conclusion, folks. I mean, yes. The Democrats have no, they don't have the numbers. They don't have the ability to stop it. Kamala Harris and Cory Booker are putting on a dog and pony show just for their constituents and people who support them so that everyone knows that they don't support Brett Kavanaugh. And then when they run for president in 2020, they can stand on that. But we all know that Kavanaugh is going to get elected confirmed. Yes.
Sorry.
He's going to get confirmed. And this all the drama around it is just Cory Booker and Kamala Harris and a few other Democratic senators, you know, making a dust cloud. But ultimately, nothing is going to come of it. He's going to get confirmed.
When they stalled on Obama's appointee, I was disgusted and I thought it was frankly dereliction of duty and dishonorable. Having said that, that's not going to be an option here. Period.
No.
You can't run out the clock on 2.5 years.
Right, you can't. Well, it's not an option. They don't have the numbers.
The
Democrats don't have the numbers to do it.
Which is why 2018 elections are going to be so important, because at least
maybe you can balance it out then, and then you can have a little bit of control. I think you have two justices on the bench right now that are over the age of 80. So there's a realistic chance.
Ginsburg is what, 84?
Right,
and looks 900.
So I mean, there's a realistic chance that you could be looking at someone else. Trump.
This is
going to
be a Trump court,
right?
Fuck's
and
sake.
So that's so again. That's why again, winning elections matter. There are consequences. I say it all the time, and this is one of the consequences. Now, I'm not saying you necessarily just roll over and let it happen, but at the same time, like, listen, this you want to motivate your base. This is how you motivate your base, and this is how you get people out there to vote. You get people out there to vote, because this is the consequence. All the other stuff is surface level.
Very few organizations impact your life more than the Supreme Court in a long-term capacity, right? Presidents come and go. Senators, congressmen come and go.
But they're Supreme Court. They're lifetime appointments.
People who make decisions that become laws or change laws or overturn laws. And unfortunately, that job has become so politicized.
Right, and we're looking at a person now who...
He's qualified.
There's no doubt about whether he's qualified or not, but where he comes out on a lot of these things that are very important to people, whether it's abortion or investigating a sitting president or indicting a sitting president, even some stuff that what Cory Booker was putting out there about his views on racial profiling and affirmative action, things like that. I mean, this guy is not anyone that, I mean, qualified, yes, right? And some of the decisions of his that I've read, okay, they make sense. They follow. There's nothing that I read that stood out, but I mean, this guy he's a prolific writer, right? I mean, he's done a ton of cases. I mean, we're talking about over, 4,000 documents that the Senate Judiciary Committee is having to review in a short amount of time, and I don't have time to read 4,000 documents. It's not my job. It's their job. So I'm sure there is some controversial stuff in there, but we've got no chance to really stop it.
Right.
And this guy is going to be, and he's not that old, so he's going to be there for a long time, unless he pulls a 180, and once he gets on the court, and listen, it's not unheard of.
It is not.
It's happened multiple times where we've seen justices put on the court, assuming that they're going to be extremely conservative, and they turn out to be pretty much middle of the road.
John Roberts, I would say, is an example of
right.
that.
Even, I mean, look at the guy that Kavanaugh is replacing.
Right.
I mean, so it'll be very interesting. I mean, I don't think that it will actually be that interesting to watch this process with him. We're getting a lot of grandstanding, but this thing is, you might as well consider it done.
Right. All right. I'm sorry I derailed this. I'm just saying it's amazing that this story is that entertaining.
That far down the line. And now we talked about it. So look, look
at us. Good for us.
But I mean, just going back to, going back to Trump.
The op-ed.
And the op-ed. Kellyanne Conway, I think, was my initial thought. Realistically, Jeff Sessions seems like he's a really good fit for this. He's tired of getting, you know, tired of getting attacked by Trump through Twitter, tired of being, you know, told to use the Justice Department right. for things it's not supposed to be used for. And I think it's a way for him to punch back without, you know, taking deliberate bullets. And maybe, I think you could almost say, does Trump know that it was Sessions? Because he said, you know, it's treason, and, oh, Jeff, you need to look into this. Right. Or do you need to look into this? And that's Trump's...
I don't think Trump knows who this was because he looked really unhinged. I mean, if guys like that, and most people...
What do you mean
generally,
he looked unhinged?
He looked furious.
In the op-ed, or you mean
response? In his response.
Okay.
He did not look like he was someone who knew something and didn't want... First of all, I don't think he could know something and not say it if not saying it doesn't
Understood.
Benefit him. And he looked genuinely just fuming mad. I mean, he does a lot, but he more than
hates
usual.
Criticism.
He hates criticism.
He hates criticism.
He especially hates criticism when someone who supposedly is on his side. And all right,
because he's all about loyalty, right?
Yeah, I mean, and when you're an egomaniac,
he's the kiss the ring type of guy. And so now he's got someone who may have kissed his ring, metaphorically speaking. And that person has now turned their has turned on him, betrayed him, whether he's considered to be patriotic or not. Now he needs to figure out, how can I find this person? How can I figure out who it is? New York Times, just tell me who it is so I can chop their head
off, or Department of Justice, investigate who this is.
Yeah,
which is fucking crazy when you break it down.
Right,
that is nuts. I mean, the idea that a protected source would be investigated by the DOJ. That is next level fucked up. I don't know who I would put this on. My guess is it's probably someone like a Mark Few of Watergate fame, where it's a high level person, but someone who is not a day-to-day name, but I so want it to be Pence or Sessions. Oh,
that would be great.
Maybe
it's Raj.
Well, so here's the funny thing. So I literally wanted to call you and say, I hope this is Pence. I hope this is Pence. And I said, if I do that, I'm going to hear, shut the fuck up. You know it's not. And then the fact that the word lodestar was used in the op-ed, and that's a term I have never heard before in my life.
I don't even know what it means.
I don't either, but I'm told Pence uses it all the time.
There's an image in my head of what I think it could mean.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the right thing.
Son of a... Jim Lalka called him a son of a... I did, but... I want this to be Pence so bad. And let me say this. Pence has a motive. If Pence wants to be president, which he clearly does, and if he believes Trump is incompetent and immoral, and he is certainly at least one of those things, at least by the standards that Mike Pence pretends to uphold, I mean, if you're Mike Pence, this is your shot at the big chair. And I also want to say one other thing. I heard lots of people, I listened to lots of Breitbart and Fox this week, and a lot of them said, you know, the economy's doing great, and if you hate your job so much, you should just quit. You shouldn't be doing this to the president. Bullshit. If you believe that the future, I mean, assuming that this person is being sincere and being quoted accurately, if you believe that the country is in peril because of the incompetent douche in the White House, and you are willing to risk your career, whatever, to speak out, that is an act of patriotism. That is not some cowardly whatever, you know, speak. Mm-hmm.
All right, let me go ahead and just stop you.
All right.
No.
Yes.
No. Here's the problem. You didn't put your name on it. And I get...
You can't.
You can. You lose your
job. Not you lose your job. And
you lose your job.
If you believe it's your duty to stay you're at...
Then if you're that, we're going to get to Colin Kaepernick and sacrifice and all that stuff in a little bit. But if you believe this strongly that your country is in peril and you're that big of a patriot, then you just come out and say it. You put your name on it. And yeah, you're probably going to get fired. You're definitely going to get fired. But you, as soon as you put your name on it, you have an entire, like you have half the country and 80% of mainstream big media that has your back.
they have your back, but you no longer have the ability to be inside day to day stopping
but,
things that you think are a disaster.
Guess what? As soon as you put this out there, right?
And, it's out there.
It's out there. And you're someone who has first level access, right? And you have to come with proof. If you're gonna if you're gonna do all this, you can't just go to New York Times and say it, right? Anonymously. You have to go to New York Times, say it, put your name on it, have proof, document it, throw it out there. I don't care. And then what happens if you're truly a patriot, then what happens is that now all of a sudden we have there are people in the administration who if what this person is saying is true. And then Trump loses his shit and he fires this person. And there's actually a group of people in there that believe that he's unfit. Then those people then they have what they need to say, we have to use Article 25. That now all of a sudden he is not capable of being president. He is acting like a tyrant. We have to shut this down. They have what they need. They can move forward. And because if he goes through, guess what? If he goes through and starts firing them all, then Congress has what they need, right? At some point in time, Mitch McConnell.
No, they don't. They don't have balls. So they don't have what they need.
Well, maybe they do. But I mean, because Mitch McConnell is a big enough snake where he'll back the president. But then if he sees it's going downhill for the president, I firmly believe that Mitch McConnell would flip in a heartbeat. Paul Ryan would flip in a heartbeat.
Ryan has flipped. I mean, he was already resigned or said he's not coming back.
Fuck this, I'm out.
I'm out, yeah.
I want to go watch my girls play basketball.
We completely disagree here. I think if you believe it's your job to...
What did that person accomplish?
By staying where they are? If they are literally taking papers off the president's desk so he doesn't read this and say, let's nuke North Korea, then you want to be there to take those papers off the desk every day. You can't just walk away and say, look at me, I'm a media
star. You're not
going to
be there every day.
But so
you're not going
to
be there every
day. They claim to have been
in that role.
They're
not going to be there
Whatever.
At some point,
they're gone if they say, yeah, this is me, I'm Mike Pence. Now, if it was Mike Pence.
If it was Mike
Pence. I want it to be so bad. It's not.
But if it was Mike Pence, how's the president going to fire him?
So you're fired. He's pretty good at that.
Huh.
All right.
You think that's how it works?
No. You know what? I don't know. Can the president just fire the vice president? I don't think so. He has to be impeached, right? The vice president is in power, cannot be just fired. He can be kind of forced into a weird spot. I mean...
Well, we've all seen Veep, so...
Right. There's that. Let's use Veep as our... can I tell you a weird story? I worked for a company that was... It was a German-owned company. It was being run very poorly.
Was it those?
It was a very poorly run company, and someone wrote a letter to like the president of the like outside of the Ohio-based plant to Germany, and said basically, if you don't fix these things, I will send it to the next level and possibly to a federal agency. And they wrote this letter, and I happen to know who wrote it, and they wrote it, like I said, a German-owned company, and they intentionally used German expressions to deflect from... Yeah, so this whole... when this thing
was... So how did that work for them? Did they get caught?
They did not get caught. They did not get caught.
How do you know they wrote it? Did you write it?
No, I did not. They told me.
Huh.
Not only did they tell me, they told me, they named like 20 people to say, talk to these people and confirm it. And they told me, I said they, so now you know it's more than one person. And they told me that we didn't put your name on there because they were afraid that I would see it and lose my mind and possibly say, this is clearly.
This is clearly not. I have nothing to do with this. Well, that's interesting. So
it was really amazing.
But again, we go back to.
And by the way, I'm drinking Bland's now, and it's still really fucking good.
No shit, I'm well aware. I am.
You're still reveling in your phenomenal scotch, which not a bad night of whiskey drinking, my friend.
No, it's not. I mean, it's good to be us sometimes.
It is sometimes good to be us.
Rarely. Rarely.
When you're on a plane that's shaking the shit out of you and you're watching your third episode of Luke Cage and Aquarius. All right. Anyway, this story, this whole thing is amazing. I don't think this person will get caught for the time that it takes for
they won't get caught.
Do you think they come out if let's say 2020 Trump doesn't run? Do you think they step up and say it was me?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe, but probably not. Probably not. I know.
If you're guessing, who do you think it was? Let's play White House Clue with op-eds from the New York Times. It was Mike Pence in the West Wing.
If it's a big name, it's Jeff Sessions. Like, it's a fuck you to Donald Trump.
I agree.
But then if it's not Jeff Sessions, then it's somebody that we don't know. Could be Raj.
I agree with you.
You know what I mean? It could be whoever this guy is.
Your Kellyanne Conway thing is an interesting thought. But
she's such a snake, though. She's such a snake. I could go either way on her. For whatever reason, she popped into my head first. And part of it is because the way Trump threw her under the bus on that Bob Woodward call, right? But I think that the way that letter is written, the more I read the letter, I don't think it was Jeff Sessions, because Sessions sounds like a good old country boy and blah, 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 but he's a trained attorney of over 40, 50 years, right? So
all the more reason to think if he wanted it to look like somebody else.
Guys like that, they've been writing a certain way for so long. Like, you know when you're reading something from an attorney of a certain generation, right? And I read shit from these guys every fucking day, right? That's just, I read it all the time. And so the way you write legally, and a lot of them don't, getting them away from that style of writing, even for something like this, it's hard for them to do. And this was written, I don't think this was written, it doesn't seem like something that was written by a lawyer. That's what I'll say.
But I think it was written by somebody who wanted to make it look like it was Mike Pence.
Maybe, true.
It was either someone who was close to Mike Pence himself, or someone who wanted people to think it, because, again, he used the catchphrase. He said, go ahead, make my day, use Article 25. No, this isn't Dirty Harry who did this. It was someone else.
Yeah, I you're right on that. I think it's someone who's trying to make it look like Mike Pence.
Maybe it was Lone Star. Maybe it was Rick Moranis. No, I'm sorry, he was Dark Helmet.
Yeah. honestly, it's just such a guessing game. And even on Twitter, I think the Daily Beast had put an article out that, you know, the White House, you know, White House staff, they're scrambling trying to figure it out. And it's basically a guessing game. And my response was, no shit, it's a guessing
right.
game. I mean, yeah, it is. It, like, you, unless you know, you don't know. And if you don't know, all you can do is fucking guess.
You don't have clues. In all seriousness, though, with a guy like Trump, anyone he is suspicious of being disloyal is at serious risk of being removed from their position. He can't just fire the vice president, but he can do lots of stuff.
What if it's Ivanka?
I would love it. That's the only thing that would be better.
What if it's Ivanka?
Then
my dad's fucking batshit crazy.
You gotta do something.
My dad is batshit crazy.
He's a lodestar of crazy, if that's how you would use that word. Right, I still don't know what I mean.
Like, I don't even know what that is. I mean, I you know, I've got my days hanging out with Kim and Hilton, Paris Hilton.
My dad said on public TV he wanted to fuck me with me sitting next to him. Can you not see this guy is nuts?
Really? Fucking crazy.
All right. Speaking of Kim and whatever, Kim Kardashian back in the White House.
Yeah, huh? How about that?
Well done. All right, so I don't know the story exactly. You brought it to my attention.
So Kim Kardashian back in the White House. She is back there advocating for another person to be released from prison who is there on a life sentence for a cocaine charge. They were a low-level participant in a cocaine and weed distribution conspiracy, and that person was sentenced to life. And she is there advocating on that person's behalf. I think one thing of note is that the judge who actually sentenced this young man tweeted out a few months ago, back in June, that he still regrets what he had to do that day when he sentenced the young man that she's there advocating for. And that, to me, was a powerful statement in that you have a judge who recognizes that this person probably shouldn't go to jail for an extended period of time. And if that judge were left to his own devices, he maybe would have sentenced him to a year or two or less or some sort of diversion program or any number of things. But because of mandatory minimums, mandatory sentences based off of certain factors, and if the prosecutors go after certain, you know, aggravators and accelerators, then, you know, you get all these, and if the prosecutor can prove X, Y, and Z, then there's literally, it's a chart. It's a chart that these judges look at, right? I mean, it's a color chart, right? And it's got, you know, different color. You look at, you know, the type of crime, and you look at certain accelerators, and then you look at years, and you run it, and then you put your finger on it, and when you land on where all the things kind of merge and where the cross section happens, converge, that's the amount of time.
That's the guideline, right?
Right, like that's the guideline, and that's the amount of time that the person gets. And so this judge was handcuffed, right? He can't sentence outside of these, right? It's not.
If he does, is he breaking the law?
He could be removed from the bench.
Okay, so yes, he is breaking the law. I mean, it's like you did. All right, wow,
right? I mean,
I know judges don't have a tremendous amount of power, but when someone is convicted of whatever, there's 5 to 15. You can't sentence to two.
Mandatory right? minimums, mandatory sentencing. So, but when he, I thought it was an interesting statement when he says that. So the question is, and listen, it's Kim Kardashian who I used to think she was like on my top five list. She's fallen completely off my list just because. Her ass is completely, and all I saw was photoshopped images, right? So I mean, true. I was like, look, listen, you look
it's
at photoshop,
great, you're looking right. Images I mean, it, you like, stylized, right?
I didn't realize how good Photoshop was. I used it, and I was terrible at it, so I just assumed everybody was. But apparently, she's really good at it. And since then, her ass is fake and gross, and I've seen pictures of her on the beach, and it's really disappointing. Well, no, because she puts this image out there, and then there's other young girls that want to be like her. And instead of, you know, eating right and, you know, working out, like they're getting ass injections down in fucking Mexico.
Right.
And then they're having to get their asses literally cut open and cut off because it's infected and the shit ruptures. Like that's a bad thing. Like she's her and her
the
family.
The plastic thing, yeah.
Yeah, her and her family are a big cause for this thing that's going on. And if you pay attention, like I know you don't, but what's going on Instagram and Twitter? There are women who make money, like who make a good living off of having these fake asses. And, you know,
oh, I've seen some fake asses on Twitter and Instagram.
Right. And you know, sleeping.
Don't give me too much credit. I can be as drunk.
Well, it's not. Well, I'm just saying. But I mean, like they make a lot of money off of this shit. But then something goes wrong medically with their fake whatever. And it's always worse with the ass for whatever reason because they're getting, like, with the boobs, you just get implants, right? You get silicone implants or whatever material that they're using, whether you do it under the pec or you over the pec or whatever. And then if something goes wrong, you get it removed, then, okay, your boobs are a little bit smaller. But, I mean, you go down to Brazil or you go to Mexico and then they start injecting shit into your butt and it creates all sorts of terrible, nasty stuff. Like, I mean, there's images. It is disgusting what happens to them.
That I have not seen.
And so, anyway,
strong whiskey gets us there.
All that to say, you know, Kim Kardashian gets a lot of shit for that. She gets a lot of shit for her and her family for their show. They're famous for nothing. They're famous for a sex tape. She's corrupted Kanye West. All that shit. You know, even fucking Bruce Caitlyn Jenner and all the drama that goes on with that. And their family is definitely responsible for a lot of people having misconstrued images of how life should be lived. But I think this, I can separate all of that from this. This is an important thing that she's doing. She may be doing it one life at a time, but she's doing it one life at a time. She got one woman who was who'd been in prison for 30 years out.
Right.
Now, who knows how
and
much longer.
And a woman who was involved in a very minimal way.
Right, right. And then we have another one where this kid, if she's able to get this kid out and convince Trump to do it, then that's two lives she's impacted. And how many people can say that they've literally saved two lives in a year?
Right.
So I'm going to give her credit for it. She deserves it. I don't care why she's doing it. You can do the right thing for the wrong reasons, or you can do the wrong thing for the right reasons, or maybe she's just doing it because she knows it's the right thing to do, right? And she can't control if the media reports on it, right? Like she's not putting it out there. Hey, I'm going. Like, hey, look at me. I'm at the White House, right? She's not making it like show. And I don't know if the show on E is following her and documenting all this. I don't know.
I don't either. My guess would be that they are because
my guess would be that they may not.
I have no idea.
This is her
bias. I have more knowledge of who wrote the op-ed piece than I do of what's going on.
Well, I mean, like she's going by herself. You know, the sisters and her mom and Caitlyn Jenner is not going. She's going by herself. She's dressing, you know, like very conservatively to go to the White House to a certain degree. And I just think it's something that you can't just because you don't like her or what she's about or whatever, you can't deny. That this is she's a positive doing, thing that she's doing. And so I want to make sure we give her credit for
it. On an individual level, she is doing a good thing. And I'm going to throw this in there just because another guy or someone who I admire who's doing good things for wrongfully convicted people is Bob Ruff from the Truth and Justice podcast. And Ed Ates, who we've talked about, was released from prison, I believe, yesterday. And Bob Ruff flew down to greet him. I think that story is amazing. I'm not going to go to it anymore. Just listen to that podcast.
It's amazing. Great. And so I feel like we knew that he was going to get released a long time ago.
It took about 90 days.
And why so long?
So because once he was granted parole, and he's paroled, he's not been found actually innocent yet, and they're still fighting that legal fight. He had been in prison for like 28 years, 26 years, a long fucking time.
Right.
And in Texas, they have a program that I actually respect where if you've been in prison that long, they make you go through. They send you to a different facility, so you're not in general population of a maximum security prison anymore. But they literally make you go through classes to reintroduce you to life.
Yeah.
Because think about it. If you had not been free since 1998 or I don't remember the year, that's 20 years. That's
internet, cell phones, Uber.
Yeah.
Laptops,
everything
you did not know.
I wish I could remember the year off the top of my head.
Refrigerators that sync to your phone,
right? I mean, in his case, he's lucky in that his wife never left him.
The Bulls aren't good anymore,
right? But think about it, which is ironic because when Bob Ruff met him, he said he looks just like Michael Jordan. He's like 6'5", 6'6". He loves playing basketball, and he looks just like Michael Jordan. I don't think he plays like that, but yeah. I mean, think about what it would be like to come into the world from the late or early 90s and try to get used to today.
Right.
And, I mean, so kudos to the state of Texas, I guess, for trying to help people who spent that much time inside reacclimate to life. And just, Godspeed, Ed Ates.
Story. It's an amazing story. It's something that I know captured you.
It definitely did.
It
made me cry at work.
It did.
Found out he was getting released, I was listening to it on his podcast, and I literally teared up. I had to walk out of the office and go to my car. And go ahead, call me a name. Really so emotional and so moving.
Here's the thing. My experience working with the population of people that I have worked with in the past and I work with now, it makes you appreciate a lot of different things that we take for granted, freedom being one of them, right? And then the idea of losing the freedom to do what you and I are doing right now and every single thing that we've done today, losing that freedom for 20 years, 30 years,
yeah, I think
for something that we didn't do.
Right.
And the reason why that is because of the color of your skin or because you didn't have the money to fight it, is unfathomable, right? It's unfathomable, but it happens at a greater rate than I think anyone should really feel comfortable with, right? People always go to the plus minus differential statistics. That's fine if you're looking at a spreadsheet. It's a whole other thing when you're talking about people's lives.
Right.
And so it's okay if you get it, it's right to get emotional about those things.
It was really
amazing.
Because
it matters. You know, it does. And so it's great to hear. And hopefully this kid hasn't been in jail nearly as long. It's been a couple years, but looking at a life sentence for this, that's insane.
Right.
And so if she's able to pull this off, listen, if she's able to get two people pardoned and out of jail over the course of a year, then listen, I hats off to her. And again, just hats off to her for the effort. It's more than a lot of other people who have her same resources.
Right.
Are doing, and listen, to do what she's doing, to advocate for someone, you don't need resources, right? It helps. Her voice is definitely going to be heard before mine
or mine, right?
Or yours or Mike down the street. But we could still advocate and fight for people, and if it happens at all levels, then you know we're making things better.
Agreed. There's a ton of cheesy jokes I could make, but that would prevent me from getting to the topic I can't wait to get to.
I have an empty bottle cap.
Wait for the bottle cap. Fuck.
Fingers are stronger than yours.
The shit that goes on.
No, I've got two.
He's got bottle caps to fire. All right. You know what, Steve? I don't care if you got bottle caps. You're part of the deep state, and I'm not going to let you
stop right
me.
Now, or I'll fire this down your. I will fire this down your throat. It's a bottle cap.
Go ahead, Steve. Try it. Alex Jones kicked off Twitter, the last social media platform to say enough of this guy. In all seriousness, there are people who are saying this is censorship. And in a way, I guess it is. But in a more realistic way.
Just so we're clear, I don't like it. At all.
I don't like it. There's a reason I don't like it. There's a reason I don't like it, but there's also terms of service that should be respected.
Nope.
Yes, there are. There are terms.
Okay, okay.
If I had a platform that allowed people to communicate and you went on that platform and spewed hatred and speech, I have every right to say, it's my platform. You can't do this shit here. And you know what?
Okay, fine. All right, fine.
No, I get the flip side. Go ahead, bring it.
Fine. But there are some people on the left who say some pretty angry, hateful things towards the GOP conservative white base that they don't like, right? And those things are easy. Like, listen, the girl from the New York Times who said some really shitty things, and the New York Times put her on their editorial board, and she didn't get blocked. She didn't get banned. Nothing happened to her on Twitter, right? And so, I mean, and there are people who have, I mean, my thing is, listen, Alex Jones is a complete psycho, right? I mean, he's completely nuts, right? I would look in just because, hey, let's see.
It's entertaining as fuck.
You know, a while back, I wanted to do a what's happening in Russia today segment, just because you can always find some really bizarre shit happening in Russia. You shut me down on that. But Alex Jones.
I stand by that decision.
Alex Jones filled that void for me where I can look on his Twitter or look and see what they're talking about on InfoWars and get a, wow, that is a special type of crazy, right? And now that joy is taken from me. But
you can still go to InfoWars.
I guess, but no, that's... Ugh. But I guess my thing is, I don't think Alex... I don't believe that Alex Jones was violating their terms of service, but if he was, then there are people who align with a more accepted line of thought that have also violated those terms of services. And if we're going down that road, then you need to boot them too. And if you're not going to boot them, then you need to leave him be.
I agree with that. I mean, it should be consistent.
Right.
I mean,
or your Twitter and just be like, listen, hey, sometimes we have dicks, right? Like, I mean, like sometimes we get dicks on our network that use our service. Right, like we're not going to get in the business. My situation, my stance would be we're not going to get in the business of banning people because once we start banning these people, then we have to start banning these people over here. That is the ultimate. Like that's Dorsey could have got. Dorsey was in front of a Senate panel or a congressional panel. I'm not sure which one it was, this week, Jack Dorsey, he's the head of Twitter, but he was in front of a, I think it was a Senate panel this week, and he was getting grilled.
Is there anything more awful than one of these tech company heads getting questioned by the obviously out of touch?
Well, did you see the worst one?
Well, I mean, Zuckerberg in front
No, no, no. So today, yesterday. They were so somebody from the and I forget which GOP member it was, but they go after Dorsey and Twitter because their GOP and one of their assistants got a recommendation to follow, like some very liberal people.
Okay. Right?
Some, you know, liberal.
If you like this, you might like that.
If you like this, and it's CNN, right. You know, Keith Olbermann, whatever, right? And the argument was, their argument wasn't, why didn't we get shown conservatives? The argument was, where were the pop stars? Where was, where was Taylor Swift? Where was Ariana Grande?
No, I did not.
Or Grande. Ariana Grande? I don't know what her name
is. Grande is
Grande,
correct.
Yes. Yeah. Because I get concerned because I think of like shit from Taco Bell. Grande burrito, Grande
right,
this and
right.
that. So I don't want to
be. You
just
want to be insensitive?
Right, but it is Grande. So whatever.
It is Grande, yes.
Right, but they start listing all these like, you know, Disney pop starlets. And the response on Twitter was great. Just like, oh, man. Like just these old white guys trying to prove that they know who people are, so they had somebody go look up who's famous, right? Who's a famous girl that sings songs that people like, and they gave them a list, and they came up with Taylor Swift.
That is hideous,
right? But I mean, and it's the conversation that you and I had before on the show a couple weeks back, where this it's dangerous to have these people who are completely uninformed. About like most of these senators and congressmen, they don't run their own Twitter or Facebook feeds. They have some 25, 26-year-old intern or some kid getting paid $25,000 to run their Twitter. Like they couldn't figure out Twitter. Like I mean, like
if it bit them on the ass, they would not know what it was.
Right. I mean, and so now these are the people who are questioning. You know, Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg about their platforms, and they've got no, they're bringing a golf ball to a fully automatic machine gun fight. You know, I mean, and they're completely ill prepared. They're ill informed, and they're trying. They do. I guarantee you, what they do is before these things start, they do a crash course. Where they say, all right, teach me everything I need to know about Twitter and Facebook, social media, and you've got 3 hours to do it, right? And they're looking at some 25-year-old kid who...
I just paused by accident. I'm sorry. Go ahead. We're rolling again.
Oh,
we're
okay.
Good. We're good.
All right.
So you bring in some kid who doesn't...
They bring in yep. some kid who, you know, like some 25, 26-year-old kid who's plenty tech savvy and is just like, all right, what do you know? And then they say nothing. So the kid has to start from scratch
right.
to teach them the basics right. of how social media works, and then... They probably retain nothing, and then they go into these hearings, and then they talk, and you realize they retain nothing because they ask some yes. of the dumbest questions that don't make sense.
The internet is a series of tubes, as Ted Stevens once said.
Right. Oh my God. And so it's frustrating, but I think to the broader point of social media, whether it's Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. Instagram, if you're going to ban things like because you use these broad terms like hate speech and
right.
bullying,
right?
Right. Okay, fine. You need to define those. You need to clearly define those because what it sounds like is that now you're saying anything that is aggressively conservative, right, is hate speech. Right, because that's what it feels like. Like I may not like a Diamond in Silk. I may not like Alex Jones. Right. The thing with Alex Jones is it hate speech or is he just saying some really insane shit?
Agreed. And if you're gonna let flat Earth people out there, you should.
Oh my God! Like,
And those people are awesome.
Right, those people, right? Like, but they're to me, flat earthers are more dangerous. Because I mean, the fact that they're allowed to like walk around without a fucking guardian,
a shock collar. I hear what you're saying. I agree with you in principle. I also believe that these entities have the right to say you can't play in our sandbox anymore. I don't honestly. What did he do? I don't know.
Like,
I don't know.
My question is legally. Please explain to me specifically how he broke your term or violated your terms of service. That's what. That's a rhetorical question, but that's the question I would pose to Jack Dorsey, right? And then once we get it kind of out in the open, then it's okay, fine. But then so what is the methodology? What's the formula for you to remove Alex? Because I guarantee you, I can go to people who are very prominent on the left who are just as aggressive. I mean, how many people on the left say, fuck this person, screw that person, fight them, burn them, kick them, whatever? You know, I mean, because, your progressive left hipster people can get very aggressive with their...
Oh, left-wing radicalism is annoying as fuck and every bit as dangerous. I'll grant you that.
It is, except for they're just not very tough, right? Like, I mean, like, they just can't...
There is that.
There's very few they're people really, on the
but
left.
But they're loud.
Right, they're very loud, but there's just, like, no fear, like, physically. Point being, though, on Twitter, right, because everyone is equally...
Everyone's a tough guy on Twitter.
Everyone's
I can kick your ass on Twitter.
Yeah, everyone's equally tough on Twitter. You know, in a Twitter fight, me versus you, you have a legit chance. So,
you have the bottle caps in here, though.
Right. So I guess my question is, what is the actual criteria? And if that is, how did Alex Jones violate it and not these people over here?
All right. I would like to shut it down and then do a bonus episode and talk a bit more sports because we have stuff to talk about. We're already in an hour. I have one question for you before we shut it down.
Yeah.
Is Alex Jones more or less powerful when he is removed from those things?
Less. Does it,
okay.
Less, because, I mean, listen, this happens.
His outreach is your...
All right. He can't reach the same number of people. He's off of YouTube, he's off of Facebook, and he's off of Twitter. All he has is his website.
Does that not make him more powerful amongst the really crazy people? When he wants to do the whole
Now it becomes a legitimate numbers game.
All right.
He can't reach the same people that he can reach. Right,
and
because there are people who had never been to InfoWars, but that they went religiously to his YouTube site. They religiously went to the Facebook page, or followed him on Twitter and blah blah blah. But people like the sheeple, as our mutual friend out in Vegas would say, are very consistent. While they probably rarely will go to your website, they will definitely come to your Twitter, your YouTube, or whatever. So that's why you have. That's why when you're building, you know, in you look at us, right? We have a decent Twitter following, we have a okay Facebook following, and we have a YouTube following, and then we have our website, and then that's how we kind of we have. They all have to work together.
True.
But when we just had a website,
if you took one of those, we have just our website, we did not have nearly the presence. That's a fair point.
So I mean, it definitely impacts them. So And listen, I'm not weeping necessarily for Alex Jones, but it does concern me.
Conceptually, though, right?
Right. I don't like it. I think that he, if you're a private company, so if you're going to do it, you need to do it right and remove everyone who's a dick. And that means there's some people, like plenty of people on the left, who need to be removed. Or you need to just say, hey, listen, we don't care about your feelings, people on the left. Right, like I don't care. Like, all right, he bashes the gay. Okay, well then you have to take that L, you know, or fight back or punch back or whatever. But I think it needs to be a little bit more equal than what we're seeing.
Fair. We could go on for hours. If this whiskey stays in front of us, I wouldn't mind doing that. But let's shut it down for an hour and let's do some bonus talk. We got to talk Kaepernick. We got to talk Le'Veon Bell and the NFL season starting. And it's probably best if I take a break and drink more whiskey because it's been a long fucking day.
Well, so you can, yeah, you can, or, I'd or like drink you to get some whiskey. Water.
Yeah, I could do that.
Why don't
too.
You get some water?
I can do that. I'm doing fine.
I know.
All right. Anyway, really good talk. And like I said, let's shut it down for the moment. And
I like your shirt, by the way.
Thank you. My Buffalo Bills golf shirt.
It's a good fit on you. You lost some weight, and it looks good on you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate
that.
Appreciate that. Thank you. All right. At Whiskey Congress on all social media. Jim at Whiskey Congress. Steve at Whiskey Congress. If you want to email us, thanks for listening. We've enjoyed talking. We've enjoyed phenomenal whiskey tonight. This is the combined whiskey product of the night. Never been beaten on this show. And let's shut it down, brother.
Peace.